You couldn't see it, but there was a giant fly flying around up here, and I am so glad Jimmy took care of that for us. Well, I'll tell you what, that man has taken us to the heavenlies more than one time, and even with a little bump, he's about the best male soloist in the United States of America today, and so thank God for it. Thank you, Jimmy. Fantastic. Just fantastic. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:7, there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. In Isaiah chapter 64, God's people are in pretty bad condition. Their hearts are cold. In verse number 1, Isaiah actually begins to wish that God would just break through the heavens and come down to where the people are. He says, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." In other words, he said, "God, these people are in a mess here to the point where I wish you'd just climb right down out of heaven and come right down here and do something about the cold hearts." In verse number 2, Isaiah longs that God would send fire to melt that ice on those icy hearts. He says, "And when the melting fire burneth," he said, I wish you'd come down out of heaven yourself, and I wish you'd send a fire down here to melt these cold hearts. Then in verse number 2, Isaiah wishes that there'd be hot water that would boil and somehow would, again, those cold hearts would be melted down. He says, "For the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known." In verse number 7, then, there is a profound statement made here. Isaiah says this, he speaking of the people of God that are backslidden, he says, "And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." Here it says, Isaiah said, there's nobody that's stirring themselves. There's nobody that's getting themselves fired up. He said, "I wish somebody would just stir themselves up and work themselves up and get the courage. And God, if you're not coming down here to us, I just wish there was somebody that would get themselves fired up and they would reach up to you so we could get a hold of you so you could do something about this." He said, "I wish somebody would take hold of you, God. Take hold of you, God." Notice it says, that stirreth up, himself to take hold of thee. To take hold of God. He said, "Well, we need to take hold of God." What for? Well, for the sake of yourself. There's somebody here this morning. You need to take hold of God for yourself. You need to reach up into heaven and grab a hold of a piece of heaven and bring it down to you and take hold of God. He said, "I wish there was somebody that would stir themselves up and take hold of God." Hey, we need to take hold of God for the sake of God's people. We need to take hold of God for the sake of our country. You need to take hold of God for your sake. There's somebody here. You need to take hold of God for the sake of your marriage. Reach up to heaven. You say, "Brother Owens, it's cold and my marriage is not what it ought to be. And I wish God would just come down here and solve this problem." God said, "I wish somebody would reach up, take hold of me, and get me down there involved in that problem." Somebody here needs to take hold of God on behalf of your children. Rearing children is a difficult task. Rearing teenagers is a difficult task. You're not going to rear them right off of your emotions. You're not going to run off the seat of your britches and rear right kids. You're going to have to reach up into heaven, grab a hold of God, and pull Him into the situation. Take hold on God for the sake of your marriage. Take hold on God for the sake of your children. Taking hold on God means grasping for Him. Putting your hand into His hand and pulling Him towards you. To take hold on God means to get truly close to Him and pull Him in close to you. To take hold on God means that you become very familiar with God. Hey, the Bible says, you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Somebody here today, you say, I just wish God would come down here and straighten out this mess. And you can write in the blank what your mess is. There are all sorts of people here that are dealing with all sorts of different difficulties. And you say, I just wish God would come down here and straighten this out. Isaiah said that. Isaiah said, I wish God you'd just bust out of heaven, come down here and get this cared for. And Isaiah said, what really needs to happen is somebody down here needs to stir themselves up and they need to reach up to God and stop asking God to reach down to you. Said, reach up there, grab a hold of God, pull Him into your situation. To take hold is almost saying, I'm gonna reach up there and I'm gonna grab me a blessing, almost as if I'm gonna force a blessing out of God. I'm gonna reach up there and say, God, I'm getting something from you. I need something from you. And I'm not waiting on you to come down here and solve. I'm coming to you. Take hold on God, Christian. Take hold on God, Daddy. Take hold on God, Mama. Take hold. Take hold, Christian. Take hold. To take hold is almost to demand a blessing. Say, demand a blessing? Well, in the Bible, there's a story of a man named Jacob. Jacob was in a place called Mahanaim, and he was praying. He needed something from God. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, God had sent an angel down and Jacob was dealing with that angel. And Jacob said to that angel, now you listen to me, Mr. Angel. I've been praying and I've been asking God to meet some needs of mine. And Mr. Angel, you might have just stopped in for a moment, but I'm expecting you to produce something for me. I want something from you. Angel, you have something from heaven for me and I want it. And I don't know what happened. The angel might have start to slip off. And you know what Jacob did? Jacob grabbed him. He said, you're staying right here. He said, you're not going anywhere, angel, until I get what I need. And the angel said, I'm leaving. And he said, no, you're not. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a human being turning to a heavenly angel and saying, I'm going to hang on to you and I will not let go until you give me what I need from heaven. And you know what the Bible says? They wrestled all night long. I want you to picture that angel getting ready, just breaking loose of a headlock. Getting ready to fly off, and old Jacob grabs him by the foot and says, you come back here right now. I told you, you either put up or you're not getting out. You gotta help me now. The Bible says in Genesis 32:26, and he said, the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Wow. Jacob actually wrestled that angel all night long, and the angel said, look, it's almost daybreak. Jacob said, I told you, you're not going anywhere until I get what I need. What was that? That was Jacob reaching into heaven and saying, God, I'm not waiting for you to come down. It's an emergency. It's urgent. I've got to have it. He reached into the heavens and he said, I need this. Hey, somebody here, you better take hold of God. You're waiting for a human solution to a problem that's beyond you and beyond me. You better take hold on God. You better take hold on God. Take hold of God? That's what Isaiah said. He said to take hold of God is like Elijah on that historical Mount Carmel. He opposes the false prophets of Baal there. Over 400 false prophets that are against our God and against Elijah. They had a sacrifice on that mountain. And on that mountain, Elijah is watching these false prophets, and the false prophets, they're calling upon their false god and asking their false god to consume their sacrifice with fire. But nothing happened. They tried. They tried to get their false god to consume a sacrifice with fire. They called from the sky and nothing came down. Elijah, the true man of God, he too had a sacrifice there. They had taken barrels of water and poured them on top of the sacrifice. Barrel after barrel. Can you imagine? Drum after drum of water. I think up to 12 barrels of water had been poured on top of that sacrifice. And Elijah is about to do the same. Call to his God and ask for fire from heaven. The Bible says that Elijah began to cry out to God. It says in 1 Kings 18, verse 36 and 37, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Let me tell you what happened. Elijah said, I've got to have God's help. We've got a problem here. I've got 12 barrels of water soaking the sacrifice. God's name is on the line. The false prophets did the same thing and their God wouldn't call upon them. God's name is on the line here. And Elijah began to pray to God and said, God, I need you to send fire from the sky. Let me tell you what happened. Old Elijah reached his hand into the air and said, I'm going to pull God down here so you can take a look look at my God and what my God can do. I believe Elijah took hold of God. You know what happened? The fire fell from the sky. It came almost as if Elijah had reached into heaven and aimed God's heavenly flamethrower right at the sacrifice. The fire came. It ate up all the sacrifice, all the water, and even the dust around that sacrifice. Elijah was not afraid to take hold of God. Jacob took hold of God. Elijah took hold of God. The problem with many of us are we face a problem and we go to solving it with our own intellect. And we go to solving it with our own problem-solving skills. And we go to solve that problem with our own emotions and our own planning. I've got news for you. Folks, let me tell you something. There are some of you right now that are on the threshold of either doing something wonderful for God or making the most tragic mistake in your life. And God has brought something in your life that is bigger than you. You can't handle it. You don't know how you're going to solve the problem, and you're going to depend on your own logic to solve it. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. God brought it to see if you would depend on Him, and if you would reach up, take hold of God, and get God in that circumstance. Elijah took hold of God in 1 Kings chapter 17. Can you imagine this? Elijah had the courage to go to God and say, God, I want you to keep it from raining. What? Yeah, God, stop the rain. I tried that this morning. I said, God, stop the cold. It didn't work. Elijah actually, he reached up toward the heavenlies, and in 1 Kings 17, he said, God, I want you to stop the rain. And you know what happened? The rain stopped. Then a little later on, Elijah went back to God and said, God, I need you to start the rain. You know what happened? The rain started. Again, as if Elijah had reached up into heaven himself and turned off the heaven's rain faucet and then reached up when he needed it, turned back on and twisted the knob himself. Jacob said, I'm going to reach up and get a hold of God. Elijah said, I'll reach up and grab hold of God. I need Him. Taking hold of God is like the mighty captain Joshua when he was in a battle. He needed more daylight to win a battle against the Amorites. Joshua actually has the audacity. He actually has the courage. Or maybe we should just call it what it was. Joshua had the faith to say to God, God, I could win this battle with the Amorites. But I can't win the battle unless you give me just a little more time. And I'm sure God said, well, how much more time do you need, Joshua? He said, I need you to hold the sun still. God said, you what? Don't you understand? Don't you understand in all the science classes, everybody's taught that the sun does not stand still? Don't you understand that does not happen? Joshua and Joshua said, God, now I need you to make the sun stand still. It's got to stand still. You got to give me another day to lick the snot out of these Amorites. And God said, that's not normal. And Joshua said, I don't serve a normal God. I don't serve the average God. God, please give me the light switch. And the Bible teaches that the sun stood still. Can you imagine? It's almost as if Joshua reached into the heaven and takes a hold of the sun's off and on switch and puts it in neutral. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed, and the people had avenged themselves. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What happened? A man just like me, just like you. A human being just like me, just like you, turned to God and said, God, I need something. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than my physical strength. It's bigger than my mentality. It's bigger than my college training. It's bigger than my spiritual background. And oh God, I've got to have something. And Joshua had the courage to reach up toward God and take hold of God to solve a problem, to make something happen that's bigger than him. See, taking hold of God is like Abraham in an effort to save the righteous people that were in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He went and challenged God to hold his destruction for 10 righteous people. Genesis 18, it says, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Preadventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. What are you talking about? God was going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham had said, look, if we could find about 50 people down there that loved you, would you spare the city? And God said, yes. Abraham had the courage to go back and say, I wonder if I couldn't find 50, but I could only find 45. And God said, I'll spare it. Abraham had the courage to go back and say, well, what if we can only find 40 righteous people? And God said, I'll spare it. And we see Abraham go back over and over and over again and get God's attention, reach up into heaven and say, God, I've got to take hold on you. This is bigger than me. I need your help. And God produced. Taking hold of God is like that widow in Luke 18 begging for vindication from the unjust judge. It says in Luke 18:5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her lest by her continual coming she wear me out or she weary me. Taking hold on God is like the friend who needed 3 loaves of bread at midnight and worked at it until he received what he needed. In Luke 11, where it says, Luke 11:8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I am convinced, folks, that God wants us to come to him. I'm also convinced there are people in our midst today, their hearts are cold, like in the book of Isaiah in the introductory comments. There are hearts that are cold. There are problems that are bigger than you. And some of those problems are the result of cold hearts and cold spirituality. And Isaiah said, God, I wish you'd just leave heaven and bust through the gates of glory and come down here and fix this. And a little later on, Isaiah said, well, God, I don't know that you're going to do that, so I wish somebody down here would stir themselves up and come up and grab hold of you. Somebody here needs to take hold of God. You were expecting the answer was coming as a result of God making the first move, and God is expecting the answer is that you make your move first. You reach up toward him. You grab a hold of God. God wants us to take hold. God wants us to take hold. Listen to this verse. I'm so excited about this verse. Isaiah 45:11, it says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. Whew. You understand what God just said? God said, command ye me. What? God is saying to man, command ye me. Hey, what's that mean? God said, reach up into heaven. Get my attention. Tell me what you need. Tell me what you want. Hey, I don't think God is considering it too forward when you humble yourself and you reach up to God and you say, oh God, I need it. I want it. I've got to have it. God, please, you're the only one that can do this. But God wanted you to make the first move. And God said, command ye me. Wow. What would happen in our lives and our ministries if we took hold on God? What would happen if you and I would stop sitting idly by just hoping God will get involved, but we aggressively seek our God and seek His faith? There are some of you, if I ask you right now, if the power of God was overwhelming in your life, you would say, not at all. But you're about to make decisions of a lifetime and you're not even filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And I say, you better reach up to heaven and say, oh God, control me. Oh God, you take charge. Oh God, I'm reaching. I'm desperate for you. What would happen if God's people would become desperate for God once again? Reaching toward heaven. Begging for God's presence. Someone here today desperately needs to take hold on God. Your life depends on it. Take hold on God. Reach up. Take hold on God. Somebody here, your marriage desperately depends not on you sitting idly by, not on you doing what your emotions tell you to do, not on what you think you ought to do. Somebody better desperately reach toward God and say, oh God, take over. Help me, God. Your marriage depends on it. Your ministry depends on it. Your future depends on it. Take hold of God. Take hold of God. Take hold of God. The sermon this morning is called, Take Hold of Thee. Take hold of Thee. Let me tell you, we better take hold of God for needed strength in our life. Take hold of God for needed strength in your life, Christian. Isaiah 27, verse number 5 says, or let him take hold of my strength. It says, take hold of my strength. Somebody here today, but the ones I'm just so wore out. Well, I'll guarantee you something. I don't care how wore out you are. You have enough strength to reach toward Him. God never lets anybody be so wore out that they can't reach toward Him. But your problem is, you reach toward the psychologist, or you reach toward the drugs, or you reach toward the immorality, or you reach toward the liquor. Don't reach toward those things. You say, I've only got a little ounce of energy, then a little ounce of energy is all that it takes to reach up toward God. Somebody, take hold of God. Get the strength that you need. Reach to heaven and grab you some strength. I was watching my grandchildren play the other day. My granddaughter had a bowl of snacks. And my grandson had eaten all of his like a good boy does. She was protecting her snacks with her life. I watched him look over toward a cartoon. It got her attention. She looked over the cartoon. He reached in, got his snack. What is it? Two years old? Two. He was smart enough at two. Looked at that cartoon. She thought, I better look at the cartoon. He got his snack. I'm going to tell y'all something. You know what some of you need to do? Some of you down inside yourself need to look up toward heaven and say, God, look at that right over there. You reach into heaven. You grab you some strength and pull it down and say, that's what I needed. I need some strength. I need some strength. Christian, you don't have to be weak. Take hold of God's strength. Christian, you don't have to be powerless. Take hold of God's strength. Christian, you don't have to be weary all the time. Take hold of God's strength. You don't have to be spiritually wore out. You say, I just can't take anymore. You're lying to yourself. If you're alive, you can take more. Many people have taken much more than what you're taking. I think of Phyllis Kiesecker, 66 years in the very same church. Don't you think there were times when she had to reach up to say, and to God and say, God, I can't do this. I've got to take hold on you. And she grabbed her some strength and brought it back down into her situation. Christian, you don't have to be wore out on God and say, I just can't be a good Christian anymore. Oh, foolishness. You can be. Say, I don't have any more strength. Then take hold on God and get some strength from Him. It's good that some of you have come to the end of yourself. That's real good for you. It's good for you. You say, I can't take anymore. I can't do anymore. It's all coming down on me. Good. Go to God and let's prove how big your God is. It's good that He wore you out. It's good that you don't know what to do. It's good that you're tired, because you're going to have to go to God and you're going to have to face that you're not as close to Him as you ought to be. Reach up there and say, God, I've barely got enough strength, but I'm coming to You and You're going to give me the strength to do the right thing even though it's hard. Grab a hold of some strength, tuck it into your bosom, and go do for God what you ought to do. Take hold of God. Take hold on God for your strength. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. People often ask me, Brother Owens, how do you keep the schedule that you do? Well, I often come to the end of me. I often come to the point where I say, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't keep going. And about that time, I remember I have a reservoir available to me. It is beyond human strength. It is beyond what man can do. It is beyond what education can do. It is beyond what muscles and vitamins can do. I realize I have a super strength available to me that will help me to hang in there and keep doing the right thing and keep fighting the battle. There are times when I am so weary, I don't think I can take another step. There are times I can sit in my office and it's time for me to come in here to preach. And I'm thinking, I hope I can get in that pulpit and preach for 45 straight minutes, or an hour, or an hour and a half. And when I am weary to the point where I say, I don't think I can take any more. So what do, preacher? I always have just enough strength to do this. I need it. I'm not going to make it. And I'll tell you, every time I've reached up, He's reached down. Every time. Every time. Every time. Hey, weary mom, take hold on God's strength. Hey, weary dad, supporting a large family, get your kids in the Christian school and you're tithing and giving to God. Take hold on God. Elijah was on Mount Carmel. He came to the point where he had used all of his own strength. Hey, he's got these 450 false prophets of Baal. They're all over him. He needs fire from the sky. Hey, remember, the sacrifice was soaked with water. I think Elijah looked up and said, God, this one's beyond me. I can't do it. I can't make it. I can't take it. There's only one that can do it. God, please. And God said, here I come, Elijah. The Calvary's on its way. And he pulled God down and said, now do it, God. And God did. And God did. God's power, when it's needed, is available. The fire came. Moses had been stuck with the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness for years. Year after year, wandering in the wilderness. God said, that's enough. That's enough wandering in the wilderness. It's time to go into the promised land. Moses said, I will go in, but God, you must go with me. Moses said, if you don't go, I'm not going. God said, I'll make some arrangements. Moses said, I'm not looking for arrangements, God. I'm looking for you. Moses, God said, I'll get you some help. He said, yeah, you'll give me some help, all right, God, because I'm not going if you're not going. God said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Moses. I'll send you some instructions. He said, I'm not looking for instructions, God. I'm looking for you. God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll send an angel in my place. And Moses said, you can send all the angels you want, God, but I'm not looking for an angel. I'm looking for God. And then he said, I'm not going without you, God. And God said, all right, Moses. All right. Knock it off. I'm going with you. And Moses said, that's all I need. He went into the promised land. He headed that way. He helped those people to get into that promised land. I believe that Moses reached up and grabbed a hold and got those people to that threshold and helped them to do what needed to be done. Take hold on God. You say, I've got a big bill to pay. I don't know how I'm going to pay it. Let me ask you a question. You ever taken hold on God? Take hold on God for the strength to fix what's broken. So, Brother Owens, I don't know how to fix this. Take hold on God. God does. Take hold on God to overcome that vice in your life. Take hold on God to correct that relationship in your life. Take hold on God for that heavy burden that you bear. Take hold on God to build that Sunday school class. Take hold on God to build that bus route. Take hold on God. Senior citizen, you say, Brother Owens, I'm weary and I'm tired. I understand that. Take hold on God and just keep on going. Just keep on going. I love the verse that's found in 1 Kings 22, verse number 3, where it says, And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye not that Ramoth of Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not? They said, That city that we want to conquer, it's ours. It's already promised to us. And we stand here and do nothing about going and getting it. Ramoth of Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not. Let me say, everybody in here, there's something you desperately need. You've tried everything under the sun. You've tried, you tried everything except for truly getting yourself close to God. And I say to you, victory is yours, and you be still and take it not. Take hold on God. Whatever the amount of strength that you need, He is able to provide it. That is, if you're willing. Are you willing to be a good Christian? Are you really willing to just sell out and say, Okay, God, I'll do whatever you need me to do, but I've got to have your help. Reach into heaven. Take hold on His strength. Almost as if in heaven there's a generator. You take your extension cord up and pop it in, and you say, Okay, God, give me the energy I need. There were two blondes. They were living in Oklahoma. They were sitting on a bench talking. And one blonde says to the other, Which do you think is further away, Florida or the moon? The other blonde turns and says, Well, hello, can you see Florida? And let me tell you something, folks. Heaven is closer than Florida. Heaven is closer than Florida. You say, Brother Owens, how far away is heaven? About the length of your arm. Because all you need to do is reach toward Him in humility and say, God, I've got to have something. Take hold on God. Take hold of God. What's your need? Strength? He's got it. Tell you this, you ought to take hold of God in regard to His Word. The Bible says in Isaiah 56, verse number 6, Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of My covenant. First He said, take hold of My strength. Now He says, take hold of My covenant. That word covenant there, what's it mean? That's His Word. That word covenant there, what is it? That's His promise. Somebody here needs to grab a hold of this book and let nothing take that book out of your hand. Let nothing take you away from that book. Don't go anywhere that pulls you away from the book. Hey, never dilute what you are. Never dilute where you are. Never dilute that for which you stand. You grab a hold of that book and say, I'm not going backward, I'm going forward. See, folks, God's Word is still true today. God's Word is never outdated. You can look on the book on the front, on the back. There's no expiration date. It never spoils. It's always fresh. It never loses its potency. You go down to the doctor and he'll give you an antibiotic and it'll say, take by, January of 2012. I've got news for you. You can take a dose of the gospel pill and it's good in 2011 and good in 2012 and good in 2013. You say, how long has this antibiotic of the Word of God been around? It has always been around and it will always be around and it is never lost its potency. And somebody here needs to take hold of the Word of God. This book is the same book of the God who sent ravens to feed God's man when he was hungry in 1 Kings 17. This book is the same book who the God of the book fed 5,000 men with a little boy's lunch and a basket full of fish in John chapter 6. Hey, this is the very same God, the book of the very same God that made a blind man to see who had been blind since birth in John chapter 9. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The problem with most of us is this: we try God after we tried everything else. Put Him at the top of your list, not as your last resort. We need to take hold on God's Word. Stop reading it like a newspaper and start reading it like an instructional manual that should be followed by you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Stop popping into church and being entertained for a moment. Start living what's being preached. We need to take hold on God's promises. Take hold. Hey, take hold of the Word of God for peace in your life. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know what? Somebody here, you need to take hold on God, reach up to God, and calm down. Go ahead and keep your arms down and panic and freak out. I'm recommending you reach up. You grab the peace of God. You calm down. Somebody here, you need to take hold on God's Word for the security of your salvation. The Bible teaches once you're saved, you're always saved. Stop worrying about that thing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Somebody here needs to stop doubting. You say, "I'm a little shaky." Reach into heaven, grab a hold of the hand of Jesus, and notice that it's got nail prints in it. He died for you. Your salvation's cared for once and for all. And settled in heaven. Calm down about your salvation. You calm down now. You reach up to God. You say, "Boy, this is a tough world in which to live." Yes, I know it is, but He said, "I will not leave you comfortless." First of all, you have the Holy Spirit of God, and number two, you can grab up and get you a piece of God's hand and let Him hold on to you. Take hold of God's Word for your needs, Christian. He said in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Somebody here needs to reach into heaven and pop open God's pantry. Grab what you need and bring her on down. Get what you need from God. Take hold. Take hold, Christian. Take hold of the Word of God. Take hold of His promises. Take hold of God's Word for your deliverance. Psalm 32, verse number 7, He said, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble and shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Listen, folks, deliverance is yours, but you're not taking it. The answer's there. You didn't reach up to get it. Get the answer from your God. Do the right thing. Get the strength. He'll meet your need. Take hold of God's Word for the forgiveness that you need in your life. He said in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Listen, there's some of you, you've done wrong. I tell you what you do. You just get right with God, ask Him to forgive you. He'll forgive you. Let's forget it. Let's go on. Somebody needs to reach up there and say, "God, I need a dose of your forgiveness. Give it to me," and He will. Again, too many of us turn to God's Word as a last resort when we should have turned to Him in the first place. Take hold of God if you want help to overcome your sin. He said in Psalm 119:11, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee." Yes, indeed, this flesh is powerful. Yes, indeed, this flesh is strong. But I've got good news for you. If we'll take hold on the strength of God and take hold on the Word of God is more powerful than your sin. And God will strengthen you, and God will aid you, and God will help you to overcome whatever it is, whatever your vice is. Hey, is it your temper? Don't you tell me it can't be brought under control. If God told you to bring it under control, it can happen. You say, "But the ones I've tried, I failed." Hey, why don't you try? Well, you try overcoming your temper with one hand in the sky. Then you'll overcome it. You say, I just tried to give it up, and I've tried to give it up, and I've tried to give it up. And my sin, it's like I feel like I'm caught in a spider web of sin, and I can't figure it out. Hey, God's the decon man. He can help you to break loose of the chains of sin. He can set you free. You can have a victory, but you're not going to do it with your hands in your pockets. Get your hands out of your spiritual pocket. Reach up to God. Grab a hold of God. Say, God, I need you. This is bigger than me. Take hold of God. Take hold of God for your strength. Take hold of God. Take hold of God for your needs. Take hold of the Word of God. His God, hey, the Bible's still true. Folks, and I think our church realizes this. I am not going to spend my life just telling the stories of what happened in churches years ago. I want it to happen here. I want it to happen now. I want my God to do big things. I want that. I'm not playing church. I'm not playing religion. He's a real God and I'm a real Christian. I've got the real Holy Spirit and the real Word of God. And I'm not going to spend my life telling everybody about what used to happen in churches. It can happen today. It can happen here. It can happen now. Hey, Christian, when was the last time something big happened for you? For you. You got to tell everybody about everything that happened to everybody else. Hey, those of you that are struggling the most right now. When's the last time you got a hold of God and you've seen something big happen that you could brag on God about? For you. Take hold on God. There's no expiration date on the Bible. There's no expiration date on the power of God. His hand is not shortened that He cannot reach. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to recommend you take hold of salvation. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. It says the same thing in 1 Timothy 6:19. It's not talking about you working your way to heaven. You know what? There's a salvation made available. Reach out and accept that salvation. It's a free gift. The only catch to that free gift is you must accept it. Decide today. Say, I'm going to reach out. I'm going to let Jesus save me. I don't want to go to hell. Going to heaven is not a religious process, so you know. You say, hey, you want me to come and get baptized today, preacher, so I can go to heaven? That baptistry will get you, it will get you nowhere in regard to heaven. It'll get you wet. And if we hold you under long enough, you're going to wish you were on your way to heaven. Baptism doesn't save anybody. You say, preacher, you want me to write a big check to the church so I can go to heaven? Don't put pressure on me like that, folks. If you're worth $20 billion and you wrote a check to this church today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you will split hell wide open if your dependency is on your giving. It is not by works of righteousness which you or I have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. You need to decide, I don't want to go to hell. You need to decide, you want to get saved. You need to decide that you will take hold of the plan that God has created for salvation and get born again. Somebody here, you need to realize something. You're here today. You're unsaved. And today's the day for your salvation. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is available right now and able to save you right now and wants to save you right now. And there's some of you, He's speaking to your heart. If you died today, you don't know 100% sure you go to heaven. Let's get it taken care of. Let's get it taken care of. Decide today to get your name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Take hold on God's Word concerning salvation. He says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. Hey, take hold on salvation. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now. Now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is available. God said, reach out and grab my salvation. Accept Jesus as Savior. Reach out and get it today. Take hold on God, lost person. Trust Christ as Savior. Let heaven come down. and glory fill your soul. I was out soul winning not many days ago. Talked to a fellow by the name of Pete. Pete said to me, he said, "Well, Pastor Owens, I think I understand baptism." He said, "And I did get baptized, but I don't understand salvation." I said, "Well, you understood the wrong thing first, Pete. Because you really need to understand salvation first." He said, "Well, can you explain it to me?" I said, "Pete, I'll do my best. Let's use the Bible and let God explain it." I opened up my Bible. I showed him everyone's a sinner. Showed it to him in the Bible. He said, "I understand that." I said, "Pete, next thing you need to understand, there's a penalty for your sin." I showed him in the Bible. He said, "I understand that." I said, "Pete, next thing you need to know is that Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. He died for your sin." He said, "I understand that." I said, "Pete, the last thing you're going to need to do is you're going to have to accept that you're a sinner and there's a penalty. You're going to have to accept the fact that Jesus is your only way to heaven. And if you'll ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, you can go to heaven someday when you die." He said, "I understand that." I said, "Pete, now you've got the understanding. Next thing you do is reach out and take it." He said, "I understand that." He prayed, got saved. I said, "Pete, now you got saved. The Bible teaches you're on your way to heaven." He said, "I understand that." And he's saved. People were cold. You can't tell all the time that people are cold, because we can look warm on the outside while we're cold on the inside. Now, you won't fake it for long. You begin to tell. It begins to creep its way out, but the people were cold. And Isaiah said, "God, it's a mess. I wish you'd just come on down here and straighten this up." And about seven verses later or so, Isaiah said, "I just wish somebody down here would stir themselves up and reach up to you and take hold on God." Folks, your husband might not solve your problem. Your wife might not solve your problem. Your pastor might not solve your problem. Your checkbook might not solve your problem. But I can tell you, within an arm's reach away, somebody who can solve any problem you have. Take hold on God. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're not saved, why don't you decide today that you're going to get saved? Just decide. Just decide. That's it. Maybe you say, "Well, I've been in the church for years and people think I'm saved, but I'm not." Well, why don't you today, why don't you just decide to take hold of salvation? You say, "That's it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. God wants me saved. I'm doing this." Somebody here, you thought baptism would get you to heaven, or your good works would get you to heaven, or your money, or your church membership. None of that will do, folks. All those are good things. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I explained it to you. And if old Pete could understand it, so can you. If you're not saved, if you died today and you're not 100% sure you go to heaven, won't you take hold of salvation today? Let God save you. Who here would say, "Brother Owens, I need to be saved. I want to get saved today. That's what I want. I want to reach out and say, God, I'll take it. I'll accept the free gift. That's what I need to do, Brother Owens. Pray for me, Brother Owens. I need to be saved." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I see that hand." Who else? You say, "That's me. I need to be born again. I see that hand." Who else? You say, "I need to be saved." In the balcony on the lower floor. Well, here's what you do. If you need to be saved, you come when we give the altar call. You just come. You walk up to one of the men that will be standing down front and say, "I want to be saved." We'll take a Bible and show you how you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's somebody out there. You need a strength. You're weary, you're tired. You've tried to do it in the flesh. You've tried to do it with your own education or your intelligence. You've tried to do it with all that you have, but somehow it's not getting done. The problem's not being solved. You're not seeing the right way. Somebody here needs to say, "I need to take hold of the strength of God today. That's what I need to do." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I've got to take hold of that strength today." God bless you. I see hands, sincere hands. God bless you. God bless you. You put those hands down. Somebody here needs to take hold of some promises of God. Somebody here needs to reach out and say, the Word of God, I'm going to take hold. There's some promises, and God promised me He'd never leave me nor forsake me. He promised me He'd forgive me. He promised me He would bless me. He promised me He'd meet my needs. And I get worried, and I don't have the peace in my life that I need, but I'm going to take hold of the Word of God and let it season my soul, and I'm going to let it do its work. I need to take hold of some truth of God, or I need to take hold of some promise of God. And God spoke to me about that today. Brother Owens, would you raise your hand and say, that's me? There are hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. In a moment, we'll start our altar call. This is how it'll work. In a second, the instrumentalists will begin to play. As they begin to play, we'll all stand. As we begin to stand, the choir will sing. The men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform. They'll post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. If you need to be saved, you leave your seat, walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be born again. We will not embarrass you, but we'll show you how you can take hold of salvation. You won't work yourself there. It's just receiving the free gift, but you come. If you need to come and get strength, you come. If you need to come and seal a deal with God about some promise of God, getting back to your Bible, getting right with God, getting the power of God on your life, you come. There are people in the balcony. You need to leave that balcony. Come down here and get on your face for a moment. Somebody on the lower floor that's got a heartache or a burden. You've got a problem that's so big, it's just got you messed up mentally. You say, I just don't even know what to do. Come get the good thoughts that you need from God. Take hold on God. Take hold on God. Somebody needs to rededicate their life. Somebody that's been saved, you need to come and make public your salvation. Somebody needs to come get baptized. The altar will be open. I ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. You come. You come, Christian. Come get some strength from God. You come, Christian. Come claim that Word of God. Come claim that promise of God. You come. Somebody here, you're not right with God and you know it. You come. You come get something straight out with your God. You come get the strength that you need. You come get what you need from God. Stop trying to solve the problem on your own. Stop trying to use your own intellect. Stop trying to use your own education. Stop trying to use you and tap into God. Hey, take your extension cord out, raise it toward the sky, pop it into God's generator and say, God, I need strength. He'll come through. Come and get saved. Come follow the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation. Come rededicate your life, Christian. Take hold on thee. Take hold on God. Isaiah said, is there none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth himself to take hold on thee? Isaiah said, God, I wish you'd just come down out of heaven and straighten these people out. Later on, he comes to his senses and said, God, since I don't think you're going to come do that, I wish somebody would stir themselves, reach toward heaven and grab what they need from you. Jacob said, I'm not letting you go, Mr. Angel. I'm either going to get from God what I need or I'm not letting you go. And the angel knew he was licked. Moses led those people to the threshold of the promised land, but Moses said, I don't want to go anywhere without you, God. I again believe there are people, I don't even know who you are. You are facing something that is bigger than everything that you are, everything that you have, everything that you know. And it's probably good that God brought you to that point, because you have no choice but to decide to run or reach up and say, God, I only have the strength to reach to you. And I'll promise you, you're going to see God do something for you. If you've been saved and never made it public, why don't you come make your salvation public? If you've been saved and never baptized, why don't you come? If you have been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, but you've never joined fellowship with the church, I wish you'd come. Take hold on thee, it says. Take hold of His strength. Take hold of His salvation. Take hold of His Word and promises. Christian, about to throw in the towel. How about a Sunday school teacher? opportunity. All you need to do is receive it as a free gift. God bless you, folks. You can have a seat there.